Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
All right. Good evening, Men of Refuge, Thursday night Bible study. And it's good to be with you. It really is. Awkward, yeah. Different, for sure. But it's still good to be with you and good to know that together we could spend some time in God's Word, 2 Thessalonians to be exact. Spend some time singing praises and prayer too. Always, as you know, key part of what we do on Thursday nights. In addition to our fellowship and our study and our time of praises, is time of prayer. Really a really key part for sure. We've seen God do some amazing things, and we believe, as we've often said together, that as James says in the Word, that it avails much. Strange as that is, it's true because God said it is, and so we believe it and we do it. So we're going to do that now. I've got some prayer requests here that you guys sent me by way of text and email. And thank you for doing that. Please do that. I want this to continue during this this temporary time, this temporary new normal, that we could pray and your requests, like always, but a little different in that you don't write them out on paper and hand it to me. Just email it to me or text it to me so we can pray together. So let's do that now, all right? Well, Father, thank you for tonight, which awaits us, Lord. Thank you for all the different elements. Lord, getting into your word, what an awesome blessing, Lord. Please, please help us not to miss anything you would speak to our hearts through our study in your word. And Lord, our time of singing praises, it for some it'll be awkward because I'm not with the group of guys in the cafe, but Lord, this is an opportunity for our souls to cry out in a manner, in a fashion that you have designed, that you have prescribed, and it's good for us to do it, Lord. It's a blessing for us to sing out, Lord. So help us to do that as well. And Lord, these needs we bring before you, lifting up those that my brothers, your men have sent into me. I see first one here, Father, is to pray for Dan and for Carol Gleason, faithful couple for many, many years, a few decades, a couple decades here at Refuge and the prior building, and just being such not only faithful servants, but great examples as well. And Lord, as they going through some heavy stuff with a cheerful attitude, amazing peace you've given them as well, Lord. But with Dan having big surgery coming up next Tuesday, brain surgery, and Carol just having hip surgery, and just getting home yesterday, massive things to deal with at any point in life. But for a couple to deal with them at the same time, God, it would just be overwhelming apart from you. But they're not overwhelmed, Lord. They are just in awe of you and your grace at this time. So, Lord, we pray for quick healing for Carol and for just a very thorough and complete procedure on Tuesday, Lord, that accomplishes all that you want it to, and speedy recovery for our brother Dan as well. And Lord, we want to lift up from our brother Mike with us tonight from his Connect group, a sister in the Lord, Davina, who is now home from the hospital, Lord, having been dealing with COVID-19 and in recovery mode and doing well. Slow, but doing well. Lord, thank you for that. So that's a praise report and a request, Father, to ask you to finish out that recovery. And Lord, may she be just a testimony of your grace through a difficult time, Father. Lord, do you want to lift up our brother Bob and just thank you for him and for his example, Lord, to us as men and just the way he loves and his wife Rocky. And Lord, praying for them as a couple, Lord, praying for Rocky's health, praying, Father, for your providential hand to be on that couple and that family, Lord, in Jesus' name for sure, Father. We also want to lift up our brother Ed, and Lord, just thinking about his heart for others, it so encourages me, and I know a lot of us, and he's had his own health issues, but first thing in his mind is praying for others and praying for Carmel, who had successful surgery, and he was just so excited to hear that praise report from her mom. And so we rejoice with him. Lord, when our brothers rejoice, we rejoice. So we rejoice with our brother Ed. And Lord, we do pray too, as he's doing better, but got some of his own issues health-wise. Lord, we pray for just a strengthening and just full recovery from that, Lord. And just looking forward to seeing Brother Ed one day when we resume meeting there in the cafe. And then also, Father, our brother Rene wanted to make sure that we lifted up our just our brothers in general from the men's study and the men of refuge, and really all, Lord, men and women and kids, any that are dealing with direct effects of the coronavirus, Lord, whether that be having the virus or just having been adversely affected in other ways, Lord, due to the work situation, maybe less hours, maybe no hours, no work, maybe furlough. Lord, a lot of different ways that people are being affected. And Father, we pray, Lord, and we look to you to show yourself strong and mighty on behalf of those who would just put their trust in you and say, God, I look to you. And so, Lord, we look to you on their behalf, Father, and ask that you would just grace them with your provision. Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, if any are lacking wisdom and just making decisions that they've always done that just haven't been maybe the most prudent financially, Lord, give them wisdom on how to walk through this time. Lord, help them to avail themselves of all that you've provided, Lord, whether it be food here from Refuge and different aid that's available. Lord, whatever it is, God, we pray they would look to you and that you, again, Father, would show yourself strong on their behalf. So, Lord, thanks for hearing us out, for hearing the prayers of my brothers and I as we bring them before you. And again, Lord, asking you to just have your way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Tonight, Thursday night, we're continuing our men's study in 2 Thessalonians. We've been going through, first we went through Acts, and then we thought, let's take a look at the letters that Paul wrote subsequent to these visits to these locations and planting churches and nourishing churches. And so the first letter, of course, being 1 Thessalonians, and then, of course, follow-up, he wrote 2 Thessalonians. So tonight, Paul is going to take us through the rest of chapter 2 and then even into the final chapter, chapter 3, and hit a few of those first verses. So we welcome you, brother. Glad you're here. Paul, come on up, man. Take it.
Well, welcome, brothers. I do miss you. It's always much better to be together. I do miss the time together before. But let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the love that you've shown us, that, Lord, you continue to reveal yourself to us, that you had not left us alone. You have given us the Holy Spirit to, Lord, reveal you to us. We just serve a great God, and so, Lord, let us give back. Let us take the opportunity to share the good news that you have provided us. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a book called A Hope in the Chaotic World. It was written by a man named Ray C. Stedman. And really awesome. I got it, and we started to study it, so it gave me an opportunity to read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and from his perspective. But anyway, it's really appropriate, this hope in a chaotic world, because that's what we're experiencing right now. We're experiencing that as a country. We're experiencing that as a world. And so this epistle that Paul writes is really appropriate for now. It was appropriate for the time. It's appropriate for now. Paul knew the importance of hope. He wrote to encourage the Thessalonians. He knew the hardness of the world, and this was 2,000 years ago. The difficulties, the despair, the persecution, disease, famine, it faced the world at that time. And we have to realize that some things do not change. Here in our country right now, we're experiencing things like suicide, drug deaths in America, and once again, the virus is really plagued this country, is plaguing the world, and it makes people feel hopeless and fearful. And Paul wrote it to the Thessalonians as well as to us. He didn't just write this for that time. It's appropriate in all time because God is outside of time. Hope is the difference in how we react to the things that happen. The story about hope a long time ago, Pastor Chuck Smith, 40 years ago, told a story about wharf rats, and it impressed me so much I've never forgotten it. He was talking about these wharf rats, what they did. The scientists got them. What wharf rats are is they hang around the wharfs, obviously. And what they do is when they fall in the water trying to get on the ships, they'll hit the water. They'll try to swim back to the wharf and climb back up again. So they took these wharf rats and they put them into a tank and they sprayed water down from the top. Because what the wharf rat does is tries to flip over on its back and float. And so to stop them from flipping on their backs, what they'd do is they'd spray water down from the top. And then after about 16, 17 minutes, these wharf rats would give up and end up drowning. So what they would do is they took a study with some other rats, not the same ones, obviously, but they took these other rats, a collection of them, put them into the container, sprayed the water down, let him stand there for about 15 minutes. And getting close to that 16, 17 minute time period, they would take the wharf rats out, dry them off, feed them, make them feel real good, and then they would put them back in again. This time, the rats would last somewhere between 35 and 36 hours. They would keep swimming and would last much longer. Now, the story is 40 years old, and it's probably morphed a little bit in my mind, but it really impressed upon me why these rats survived for a longer period of time. It was because they had hope. They had hope now that they were going to be removed from the water, fed, and warmed up, and they would be okay. They had hope. As they looked at it, they did not worry about it. So hope is a really important thing, and Paul was writing of hope. He was writing of a hope of eternity. He was writing to tell people about God's plan for man. And as Alan said, we started with Acts. And in Acts chapter 17, it tells us about Paul's second missionary journey. And it's important because we get a feel for what Paul was going through. He was beaten in Philippi and was sent away for his own safety. He traveled to Thessalonica and was there for about three Sabbath days teaching from scriptures. What he was teaching was Christ had suffered and risen from the dead, and Jesus is the Christ. He would preach this to the Thessalonians for 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, less than a month, he preached this. The Jewish leaders chased him out and he went to Berea, then on to Athens, and then to Corinth. It was in Corinth is where Paul wrote his letters to the Thessalonians. And Paul loved the young Thessalonian church. He was just overwhelmed by it. He was writing to encourage them. The Holy Spirit was at work, and the church was growing. The Spirit of God living inside the believers that made it grow. Paul had concern of a loving father as he wrote 1 Thessalonians. He was talking to them about the end times and the rapture of the church. And about those that had died, they would not miss the rapture. These were questions that the young Thessalonians had. And it's an important thing to realize that this, why would in 3 weeks Paul be able to share so much of the gospel and spend time talking about the second coming of Christ? He was telling them, it's not only for now, this is what God has planned for the future. The second coming provides comfort of hope, this hope that God is not leaving us here alone, that he's here for us now, but he's coming for us. He's made provision for us now, but he's made provision for us for eternity. We know what our future is in Christ. Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to clarify some of the questions that arose as a result of 1 Thessalonians. So 2 Thessalonians was concerned with the great tribulation and also the second coming of Christ. Paul comforts the Thessalonians. He lets them know the rapture is coming. We are not in the great tribulation. They were experiencing tribulation, but they were not in the great tribulation. And that we will not go through that great tribulation. And so then in 2 Thessalonians, we're going to pick up here around verse 7 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That was taught last week. But anyway, in verse 7, he starts out, first of all, he says in verse 5, he says, remember, I told you these things. I told you these things. I told you these when I was with you. It's impressive that so much growth had occurred in this three-week period. These young Thessalonians were so excited. They were experiencing persecution. They were being, you know, given problems. They experienced the same problems of life that we all do. But they were concerned about some things, and so he's writing now to set their minds at ease. Picking up in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That coming is the presence of God. Many times we think about the second coming as an event, a single event. It's not. God is going to be there presently. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth and that they might be saved. The love of the truth that they might be saved. There is an important point here between the truth. The truth is that God created us and God has rescued us. He is our Creator and our Savior. That we might be saved. Verse 11, it says, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe in the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul was going back over and repeating for the Thessalonians. He was repeating for them those things that he had shared before. He was trying to clarify. And our text for tonight is 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the last five verses of chapter 2 and the first five verses of chapter 3. Verse 13 is the beginning. Now the title of this section is Stand Fast. This is what the scholars have given this. But it starts out with the word but. After all this, he's going through and he's talking about the second coming. He's talking about those that reject this truth. And he then says, but to say to the Thessalonians, you don't have to worry. Don't worry, don't worry. He says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and the belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. These first three verses are powerful because he's reminding them what they have. He's reminding the Thessalonians the power they possess, the power that God has given them through his Holy Spirit. In verse 13, it says, thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by God. We are loved by God. We are loved by God. Because God from the beginning chose us. God loves you and he chose you. For what? For salvation. He wants us to live with him for eternity. Through the sanctification The sanctification was setting us apart, making us holy. By His Spirit, that's how we were set apart. That's how we are sanctified, is when the Spirit of God enters us, when we invite Him in. He chose us, but we invite Him in. We invite the Spirit in. And it's through this, through the Spirit, that we believe the truth. Jesus is the truth. It's when Jesus was with Herod, he said to him, he said, "What do you come for?" He says, "I came to testify to truth. I am the truth. I am the way." And that truth is Jesus, to which he called you by our gospel. We are called by the gospel to accept Jesus as our Messiah, our Lord. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. Hold on to the teachings. It's important that we study the Word, that we understand the teachings of what God has given us. The Holy Spirit reveals that in us. And so when we read the Word of God, the Spirit of God testifies to our hearts. Hold to these traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Whether we spoke these to you or whether you read these letters that are written. And these letters were shared with other churches. They're shared with us. They're 2,000 years old. They're shared with us. And that's why when we face difficult situations in life, as the Thessalonians were experiencing, they were experiencing a difficult time, persecution. But why do Christians act differently in exactly the same situation? God tells us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We are not exempt from pain. We are not exempt from difficulties. We have the Spirit of God within us that gives us a completely different perspective of the world. Christians are different because God loves humanity. He loves mankind. Because God loves us, He chose us. God called us that we might be saved. He sanctified us. He set us apart. He made us holy. Because we believe that He is the truth. We believe His true Word. We believe that He has revealed Himself through His Word to us. We are called through the gospel. The gospel is what calls us. God's goal in this whole thing, out of these first three verses, these are the things that Paul was writing to the Thessalonians and to us. We might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's goal, that we will share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is His name. He's the Lord because He's our Master. He's the Christ because He's the Messiah. This was important to Paul to make sure that the Thessalonians understood this. And so he said to them, stand firm. Stand firm. Hold to the teachings. Hold to the teachings. Paul is reiterating what he had already shared with them. He's saying, don't give in. And don't give up the truth. There's always groups of people that are moving about trying to take us away from the truth. They love to give us that ear candy. They say those things that make us feel good, but they're taking us from the truth of God. He goes on in verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Our source of strength is in verse 16. Our source of strength is the Lord Jesus Christ and our God. That is our source of strength. Not ourselves. It is not us. It is God living in me that empowers me. The consolation, His grace gave us eternal encouragement. That the words in verse 16, the latter part where it says everlasting consolation in this translation, the New King James, it's kind of a better way to say it, like the NIV says it, His grace gave us eternal encouragement. His grace. Paul starts his epistles out in that format. He says, grace and peace. There is no way to have peace in this world, in this life, without the grace of God. And it's God's grace that gave us this eternal encouragement. And the good hope by grace. A promise of a different destiny. We know what the destiny is. We don't know what our lives will entail, but we know what our destiny is. We know where we're going. No matter what happens in this life, we know where we're going. Believers already have the power to do what they ought to do. You have the power. The question is, do we choose to do it? And that's the conflict we live in as believers. We're still in the body, in that flesh that makes demands on us. But we understand that we have something greater in us. And that is the Spirit of God that dwells there. He's not outside. He dwells in us. The Spirit dwells in us. The Son dwells in us. The Father dwells in us. Paul prays these young Thessalonians for their spiritual vitality, growing faith and love are marks of a healthy church. Growing faith and love, as we spend time as a church, we grow in our love, we grow in our faith. And these, Paul was telling the Thessalonians, you have this work of faith. You have this work of love. Their endurance in the face of pressure was evidence that God was working. This is God working in them. It's not what they had done themselves. It's the work that God is doing in them. Going on to chapter 3, Paul makes a wonderful request. This request is, pray for us. That's the heading of these first five verses. What a great thing to pray and to be prayed for. It's something about prayer that's a praying for somebody. It gives us a chance to get outside of ourselves and put our hearts and our minds on our fellow brothers and sisters, to pray for them, to minister to them, to lift them up and strengthen them. That's the way we started tonight, was praying for the brothers. But having people pray for you, how powerful that is to be prayed for. What a great communion that is, praying for somebody and being prayed for. And Paul is asking for this. He's saying this to them. Pray for us. I'm in Corinth now. Pray for us in the Corinthian church. They've been praying for you. Pray for them. Pray that the things that have been done there in Thessalonica will be done here in Corinth. Paul starts out verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. There's many people out there that appear to be believers. They appear to be. Paul doesn't make a judgment here. He doesn't condemn anybody. He doesn't say to do this or do that to the church. He doesn't tell them to expel these people. He just says, realize not all have faith. because there were some problems, obviously, that were going on that they had written about. And so he's kind of come back and addressing this. Not all have faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. That they know the plan that God has for them. They have all the appearances, the trappings, but they're not what they're supposed to be. But notice how he was saying that this will swiftly glorify. As it did with you, it will glorify God, and it will protect us against these unreasonable and wicked men. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you. God is guarding you. There is nothing that can happen to us as believers that God does not allow to happen. But He will use that for some purpose. And we have confidence, verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Verse 5, he finishes up. He says, now, may the Lord direct your hearts and to the love of God and to the patience of Christ. Perseverance is another way of saying that. The interesting thing here is Paul never prayed for the removal of any opposition. He didn't ask for it to be removed because Paul knows that these trials that we go through brings us closer to God. That is something about pain that draws us into an intimacy with God that we would get no other way. It brings us to the point where we realize our resources are limited. Pray for the Corinthians to experience the growth. That's what he does in here. He prays. He asks the Thessalonian church to join in praying for the Corinthians. The darkness in Corinth might be removed by the light of the gospel. They were praying for that same light that came to the Thessalonians. They're praying for that for the Corinthians. So he's involving one church with the prayers for another. Prayers of protection because not everyone has faith. We are to pray for those people that are not strong in their faith, that are seeking but not embracing. There was probably some opposition within the church. Paul wasn't singling out, he was just addressing it. We don't realize the raw power of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Our choices release that power of God. God's power is there. It's available all the time. We release that power. We have everything we need. And that's what he's saying to the Thessalonians. You have everything you need. You're worried about some of these things that are going on, but don't worry about it. You've got everything you need. God gives us security. The patience of Christ gives us consistency. God gives us security. That is the greatest thing I realized when I became a believer. I felt a security I'd never experienced in my life. That security of knowing that I'm loved by God, that He has plans for me, and that He has a destiny for me. It makes me think about my life differently. I'm not as worried about this little thing or that little thing. I know that Christ has created a consistency in my life. I stumble, I make mistakes, but He has brought that consistency to me because I know when I'm in difficult situations, I know where to go. I know where to return to, come home, and let God minister to me. Missing in a lot of believers' lives, and this is what Paul was talking about, and some of those don't have faith, they're missing the patience of hope. They're missing that perseverance of Christ. They're missing that. They're not allowing it to work in their lives. Paul knows without hope, faith and love will be undermined. The important part of the church is their faith and their love. But without the hope of the future, faith and love will be undermined. It will be weakened. When hope is lost during persecution, faith and love are soon lost as well. Hope is the most important thing. And that hope comes from knowing God's destiny for us, God's purpose for us in our lives. We're going to spend eternity with Him. So I don't have to worry about my best day here will never even match the worst day when I'm with my Heavenly Father. So Paul says, stand firm. Hold on. God will see us through. God will see us through. I'd just like to say a couple things. It is God doing the work in us. Stop trying to do it yourself. We have all we need. We have all we need by the Spirit of God dwelling in us to deal with all these things that we deal with in this world. Grace and peace. The grace of God that is absolutely just incredible. That grace of God that died for us while we were still sinners. He died for me before I knew that. That someone could share that with me. And so, as we look at the Thessalonians and we look at our time that we live in right now, there's no greater time right now to share the gospel than the time we live in. In all my years, I've never experienced something like this virus epidemic. But I know this, God is, He did not cause it, but He is going to use it to His advantage. He's going to use this crisis because we've never seen the attention of the whole world being so fearful as we do right now. We've had local things that happen, but we've never had a situation where the whole world is focused and fearful. And I know a lot of people are fearful. They're fearful right now because of what the damage is being done, because of the shutdown. But God is going to be greater than this. God is greater than this. He's going to use this to minister to people, to bring them to Himself, because we've come to the end of ourselves. We realize how limited we are as human beings. We have so little control. We are out of control right now. We're trying to manage it, but we're out of control. We need to understand at this moment, we need to get down on our knees and we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to ask Him to be our Lord and to come in and minister to us. Acknowledge the truth of God. Acknowledge His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And we need to renew that as believers. We need to renew that daily. We need to bring ourselves back to our knees and give glory to God. Give glory to God in everything that we do. He gave everything for us. He just calls us. And that's what Paul does. When you read the epistles, the letters to the Thessalonians, keep in mind, this is the simplicity of the gospel. God has done it all. All you got to do is believe. And I know that God is doing a work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time to You, Lord. We give this word that goes out to other people. We ask You, Lord, to create a boldness in us, that we're not afraid to share the love that You have for mankind, that we will take this opportunity while people are looking for answers, that we will have the answer. We're the only ones that have the answer. And that is, God is in control, that He loves us. He's died for us. So, Lord, we ask You this night to make Your word go out and begin to create peace in the heart of man and let them see the truth of who you are. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.